Hi, family, and welcome to Jordan's Journey Podcast, your number one resource to help you grow in life and in faith. I'm your host, Jordan Thorpe, where we talk all things your journey to becoming who God is calling you to be. So if you're ready to learn and grow along your journey, stay tuned.
Hi, family, and welcome back to another episode of Jordan's Journey Podcast, where we are talking with real people with real lives who have real testimonies. And today we have a special guest with us. And so I'm excited that you're here. He is a part of the family, the Jordan's Journey family. And so introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, what you do, where you're from, all that good stuff.
Thank you for having me, Jordan. Yes. My name is Brian McMahon. I am from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, Chicago in the building. So you flew out here to PA.
I actually drove out here.
Oh, you drove?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So how are you liking the stay so far? It's a little rainy.
You know what? It was dark, so I haven't seen much.
Yeah.
It's funny, like everything was flat, and then all of a sudden I get here, it's like rolling hills everywhere. It's kind of like Chicago is Illinois and Chicago are the flattest parts of the country.
Yes.
Midwest.
Yes.
And you guys have a downtown, but it's rolling hills and it's like throwing me off. I'm like, I'm not used to this. I'm used to just like gridlock, flat lands. And so it's very rolly. It's interesting to me.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of hills.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing in Chicago?
So I'm born and raised there from the south suburbs near Midway Airport, but I've lived in the city for 14 years. I'm actually a licensed plumber by trade.
Mm.
I've been in the plumbing industry basically since late years of high school.
Mm.
And so I got in that trade. It was a God thing, as everything was. It was part of my journey of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of backed into it, but I didn't like it so much at the time, but I made my way through it, and I eventually realized that God ultimately had me in that industry for a reason. In roughly 2005, I branched off and started my own business. So I've been self-employed for 16 years now. So,
awesome. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
What's your business?
It's a plumbing business.
Okay, Okay, yeah, awesome.
It's a plumbing business. We do service plumbing. We don't do construction. We do service. So we go into people's homes and change their water heaters and unclog their drains and fix their faucets and things like that. So
very nice.
Yeah, it's a service business.
Yeah, yeah, I would ask, like, how did you get into plumbing? Because that's just like such a unique, trade.
So my mother and father are from Ireland. And as you know, a lot of the immigrants in this country get into construction and service businesses. Mm. So my father was in construction, and my brothers and sisters, we were all involved in that housing industry, but I didn't like some of it. So when I got the opportunity, my cousin also migrated from Ireland and he got involved in the trade. My other cousin taught him.
Yeah.
And he would bring me out on the weekends to like carry his tools. And he would pay me a few bucks cash while I was in high school. And I was just like learning the trade on accident, just like helping him carry tools, unboxing stuff, putting things together. And over time, I started learning how to do the trade by the time I was like a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just learned it on accident.
Okay.
And then after high school, I had a moment of fate. I had a little incident happen where I ran into a little bit of trouble and I needed to come up with some money. And my cousin called me one day. He's like, I got a full-time job for you. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I ended up backing into the trade. That was 1997.
Wow.
My first full year in the trade. And I ended up doing a year with him. And then I was like, do I stay in this? Do I not? And I met someone else who got me into the plumbers union in Chicago, and I got into the plumbers union. And all of a sudden I was pursuing a career in becoming a licensed union plumber.
That's very interesting.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
said that you have your Irish background. Your parents are Irish.
Correct.
Now, what was their beliefs growing up?
Yeah, well, you know, being from that era, you know, obviously very hard Irish Catholic.
Okay,
very
Catholic.
Much. They came from like a time where people were truly Irish Catholic. Ireland has changed a lot right now.
Right.
Catholicism is taking a really big hit in Ireland.
Now, does Irish Catholic, do they believe in Jesus Christ or do they believe in?
That's a great question. Yeah. Yes, they do believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus of Nazareth depicted in the four Gospels. Yes, they do.
Okay.
They have some different doctrinal assets that go along with it than like what you and I would believe, but they do ultimately believe in Jesus Christ. Yes.
Okay. And so how did you come to develop your own relationship with God?
That's a great question. You know, so when I went to high school, Jordan, I actually started to doubt my faith quite a bit. There was a lot of things in my upbringing where I didn't see the correlation to what I thought, I guess you could say, Christianity should be. So I was kind of disillusioned by some things. So when I got to high school, I started, you know, you kind of start thinking about life. You're not a kid anymore. You're like, well, I remember having conversations with people in school, and there were some atheists in my school. And even though it was a Catholic school, it's a Christian Brothers school.
So you went to a Catholic school?
Well, it was a Catholic / Christian Brothers school.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, okay, that's a great question. It's Catholic, but they also do, we actually did read the Bible all 4 years of school, okay. and they have Christian Brothers, which, you know, that's actually a really good question. I'm not sure I can truly define a Christian brother, but it was a Christian high school.
Okay. Are you praying to the brothers, or you're not praying?
So that's an interesting question. They pray to a lot of different people, saints, brothers. Mm. There's a lot of like recognition. When we would pray over the announcements, there was like 10, 12 people they would list. Father this, father that, brother this, Mary this. It was a lot.
Oh, because they're praying.
It was a whole team of people.
Yeah.
Whereas you and I pray to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And yeah.
He's our only way. So, okay. Yeah. So it was interesting. But, you know, to be honest, I wasn't thinking about it too critically at the time the way I would now. I was just going through the motions. But I actually became an atheist, believe it or not, by the time I left high school.
Okay. So you were raised Catholic.
Right.
By the time you left high school, you became an atheist.
Yes.
Why?
It's a really good question. You know, I can't, you know, there's a lot of different types of atheists. There's like intellectual atheists. There's like doubting atheists emotionally. There's a lot of, I don't know how I'd classify myself, but I guess I just really disconnected from anything Catholic or Christian. I just didn't believe in it.
What made you disconnect? Because you were raised that way. You were born that way.
Yeah. As I reflected over the years, I just think that there was issues in the upbringing and in the household that I didn't see.
Like what?
Just dysfunction. There was just dysfunction and just different things.
So when you were seeing the dysfunction, it's like, how can you believe in this God when these things are happening?
Correct.
I see.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was. I'm like, how can this be? You know, where's this heavenly, godly existence we're supposed to have and all this stuff? And, you know, whether it was fair or not, I'm not going to say that I didn't get a fair shake. You know, I'm not going to say that everyone did me wrong or anything like that.
Right.
The teachers I had were good men and great people, and they meant well. And I'm sure that there was I'm not going to point fingers. I would say it was a personal decision to leave it. And that's what I did. Was I a hard atheist? Probably not. Was I a moderate disbelieving atheist? Yeah, somewhere along the way I was some type of atheist, but I just didn't believe. I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't have a spiritual life. And I certainly didn't pursue life with any spiritual or religious mindset. I didn't feel the need to pray, or I didn't see God in anything I really did. Mm. I was happy just doing life on my own, you know?
Just being a good person.
Just being a good person. And I just thought life was like, if you're a hard worker, you work hard. And that's what the universe will reward you back with.
Mm.
You know, I was very like humanistic, as they say, the secular humanistic. I was like, oh, this is what life is, you know? And that was kind of my perspective, you know? I would occasionally go to family events like communions, christenings, weddings, you know? And occasionally,
but in your heart, you didn't really believe that.
No, I did. I throw up a prayer here and there in desperation, but it wasn't like a real thing. It was like, well, if you're there, God, solve this problem. But it wasn't like a real. Yeah. Occasionally, I'd throw something up, but it wasn't. I wasn't there at the time.
Yeah. So, what changed?
That's a great question. So, you know, it's really amazing how God works. When I started my business in 2005, I had a really amazing incident of fate. I used to use Craigslist a lot. I'm sure you know Craigslist.
Yeah.
Not nearly as popular anymore, but I used to use Craigslist, and I was trying to hire someone to help me run my business. I was looking for a summer helper, like a $10 an hour person. And I put an ad out there saying, I'm looking for a summer helper, and if this works out, I can maybe bring you into an apprenticeship and teach you the trade over time.
Right.
I got a bunch of emails, and one particular guy, I won't mention his last name, his name was Sean, emailed me and said, hey, you know, I used to work for a church, but unfortunately I see some things I don't like. I have a truck, and I want to provide for my, I want to marry this girl I'm with, and I want to provide for her. And I'm thinking about learning a trade instead of doing church because I'm not feeling church right now. I said, oh, that's interesting. I'd like to learn from you. And skipping a lot of details, I end up hiring this guy. His name was Sean, and he was about 8 years younger than me. And he was a believing Christian. Mm. And I remember his first day at work, he gave me a little backpack, and he had like a little lunch with him, a bottle of water, a couple of personal items. And he had a Bible in the backpack. And I was like, oh, interesting. And I wasn't like against it or offended or I wasn't like hostile to it. But I was like, okay, it's fine, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, over time, he and I, it, you know, Sean and I talk about a lot. You know, over time, we would just drive around. That whole summer, we drove around all over the city of Chicago, all over, driving this red van I had. It was an old beat up red van. And he was just like, we were just talking to each other about life, heart to hearts. You know, I would tell him about my pains, my traumas, my upbringing, you know, my disillusion, all this stuff. And he would just listen. He would nod his head and listen. He was very mature for a guy younger. That I was only like 30 or not, maybe like 20 something at the time. He was only like 21 years old.
Mm.
And, he was dating the girl he's married to now at the time. And I just remember how good of a listener he was. And he told me, like, he would tell me, Brian, my heart breaks for you. My heart breaks for you because you seem like a person who has a lot of pain and a lot of hurt in you. And you have a lot of issues with family and different things like that. And my heart breaks for you. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a really sincere thing to say. It's like a very like nice thing. That's, and I was like, interesting. So over those few first couple of weeks, he would bring out the Bible and he would occasionally talk about it. I was really like, I don't know. I left Catholicism. Like, I don't know about all that. You can't trust it. It's old book. There's too many other religions out there. It's just one of many. I don't think you can trust it, you know?
Yeah.
That was kind of the basis of our early conversations. You know, I was kind of came from a skeptical,
you know, and there is a spirit of skepticism. That's the spirit where you just spectate everything. Like, everything is a question. Like, everything is questionable. And, you know, I've talked to people who are just non-religious at all. They just, you know, like to just be good people.
Yeah.
And that is the main thing that I hear is that they is too many different versions.
Yeah.
Who's King James? Like,
versus this one.
Christianity was brought to you through slavery. And I mean, you hear all kinds of things and it's causing confusion.
Yeah.
It causes confusion.
And that's who's the author of confusion, and that's
the enemy.
And that's why that one verse in scripture, I don't know off the top of my head, but it says, for the God of this world is blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. And
that's so
it's very true. And I learned that later on. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And so I did have a spirit of skepticism.
So continue on.
Right. The one thing that always overrode the skepticism, was I got to say, he was such a sincere guy. First, I was so impressed, but he was a young guy. I would try to like, so we have this fun dialogue. You should hear us talk. Like, I was like the cool guy. I was living in the city. Yeah. I was living in Bucktown, Chicago.
Yeah.
I was like the first person who took him to a bar, first person to teach him about like craft beer. And I wanted to like go to bars and like talk to girls and like do the cool guy stuff. But he was always like, Brian, I have a girl I'm with and I love her and I'm going to marry her and have family. I'm like, dude, you're only 21 years old. Like, live alone. And I wasn't trying to like disrupt his relationship or anything. I just didn't know his girlfriend very much at the time. I'd barely met her once or twice. I didn't know how serious they were. And I didn't know how committed he was at the time. So I wasn't trying to distract him, but I was kind of like saying, well, you can bring her along and this and that. And I was trying to mentor him and to be cool. You know, I was like the Travolta friend, like, come on, let's go be cool. And he was like the wholesome, like religious guy. And I'm like, but we had this fun friendship, and you know, he really impressed me because he taught me about, like, he said he didn't even have premarital sex and he was waiting till marriage. And I was like, whoa, like, people still do that? I'm like, I thought that was like a 50s thing. And I'm like, I didn't even know people still did that. And I was just always so impressed by how authentic and sincere his faith was. And
That what like attracted you towards Jesus Christ, or just even like maybe taking that first step to like, I want to know more about this.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Yes. Short answer, yes. I didn't realize it at the time.
Right.
But what happened? He eventually left me over a few months because it just didn't work out. God brought him in other things. He didn't want to pursue the trade very further for different reasons. And the hours were affecting his relationship and things like that. I understand that. So we had a peaceful, parting. But we always stayed friends. And I went to his wedding and whatnot a few months later. But I always like stayed in his life because I always saw something good in him.
Right.
And from that time on, Jordan, I always compared everyone I knew to him. Like I'd go to bars and I'd talk to my guy friends and my party friends. And I was always like, I realized honestly how superficial my friends were and how my,
I was like,
and I'm not attacking anyone. I'm not saying I don't have some good people in my life, but they were very superficial.
Yeah.
Like I would observe, I'm like, I go to bar, I'm like, we don't even have fun unless we're having a few drinks, or we don't even do anything unless it's Saturday night, or we don't even do anything unless we're at a party or we're going to like a game. Or I'm like, Sean was like a type of person I can like sit on a park bench with on a Tuesday and just like talk to. I'm like, oh, this guy's like a really like genuine guy.
Right.
And he was always so biblical and so sound in his beliefs. Like he would always, he was so God fearing and it was so real to him and how he cared about his girlfriend and his wife and how he talked about family. He used to always say, Brian, family is the hardest thing we do, but it's the best thing we do. Mm. And it's like, he taught me like, we had just some amazing foundational conversations and it was, I'll be honest, Jordan, it was like, it was a shock to my system because I was like a guy who was in the flesh.
Yeah.
I was partying and drinking.
Yeah.
And I won't lie, I was chasing girls and things like that. And I didn't, it's not that maybe I didn't see it. It just wasn't part of my values at the time.
Right.
I was like in living in the flesh and I, you know.
Did you know at the time that there was another way to live? Like you can live a life of substance, of purpose until you... He was almost like showing you without really showing you that there is another way.
That is a great question. You know, I didn't. I mean, I didn't know that. You know, one day we were driving down the street and Sean said something so profound to me. I was telling him about a random story about, I don't even remember. It was just some guy got into a car accident on the expressway and the other person died. And this guy got out of the car and said, look at my bumper. You know, look at my bumper. I'm like, I was remember crying. I'm like, Sean, how could there be a God if people are so evil and selfish and malicious? And I'll never forget what he said. He said something so interesting. He said, Brian, you know, let me give you an analogy. He's like, when a person's car fails, like something goes wrong, what do? They get out of the car, they try to fix it themselves, they put a Band-Aid, they try to tweak it, they bring it to a cheap mechanic. He's like, the problem with most people is they'll never open the glove box and pull out the manual and read the manual. And I was like, wow. It kind of moved me. He's like, that's what the Bible is. It's a manual for life. It's God's way. There is a way to do life differently. And I remember he told me, and I was just sitting in the car, I was like, whoa, like I never thought about that analogy.
Right.
He never opened the glove box to read the manual of the actual car itself.
Wow.
And I was like, so he did start to teach me about Christ and there's a different way to do life. So yeah, those conversations were brought to my attention.
I think that's so good because just from listening to the story, it wasn't like he was like a Bible thumper or trying to force anything. It was just him, his way of life.
Yeah.
And how he conducted himself as a believer is what attracted you to like, I want to know more about this God. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about what this is without even saying anything to you. And I feel like your lifestyle matters because people are watching, even when you don't think that they're watching. And he just won someone over into the kingdom just from conducting himself.
You have a very perceptive spirit because I could tell, Jordan, you're right. That's a great assessment. He wasn't like a Bible thumper. He wasn't like some hardliner or was telling me I had to go. You know, he was just showing me Christ. He was showing me Christ in his daily life. For 5-6 years, I just kept observing him. And not in a cynical way, but I would like test him. And in my subconscious, I would read him like, oh, does he really mean it? Is he really going to like... you know, not go out and party, all that stuff. And I would just continue to observe my own personal life, the people in my life. And over time, I was like, these people in my life, all they want to do is party with me, go drink. And I'm not saying I was guilty of it myself.
Right,
so I'm not
going
to point the finger, but I was like, this guy's offering me a different like way. And then another thing that really like turned for me is I started meeting all his friends. Because then I was not only getting a witness from him, but I was getting a witness from other people.
Right.
And he invited me to like these family parties and little things. And I just... it was different for me. I'm not going to lie. I was used to being like somewhere where there's a big screen TV, the Bears were on and drinks were flowing and, you know, gambling. Or whatever. And this guy was just like a wholesome guy and all these friends were around. And they were like, I used to call them cheery faced Christians. They were like always so, like he had this one friend. He was always so cheery. I'm like, where do these people come off being so cheery like this? Like, what are they like not living on this earth like the way other people? Like, they're like, I would call them these, I didn't tell them that, but I'm like these cheery faced Christians. They were always just so different to me. And I would also kind of test them, like, are these people just fake? Or they, but you know, like, they're all of the same fabric. They're always of the same quality. And they all had this spiritual type of connection to God. And I, it really was interesting to me. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you met him through, he was actually working for you.
Yes.
And then he kind of start witnessing to you without witnessing.
Right.
And then... So what, you just start believing in God again?
Okay, so
what happened after that?
I'll tell you where the real plot thickens. This is the turning point. So about 5 years into it, I was still not believing, and I was still a little resistant, not nearly as resistant. I'd softened up to the gospel a little bit. I really learned to respect him, and I wasn't as doubtful of him, but I was still like not there. So one of the biggest turning points in my life, especially in recent history, is I took a sabbatical. My first business during the 08 had some problems, and I had to dissolve it because we had some issues with creditors and different things going on. But it was a tough time. I was very overweight at the time, and I just had a lot of brokenness. I was drinking. Yeah. I had some different issues. And it's a long, long story, but I took a notion, you know, being that I'm Irish, I'm an Irish citizen, I have an Irish passport. And I said, you know, I always wanted to travel. Maybe I'll do something different. Yeah. And I remember traveling in the past, and I had been to France, I'd been to Spain, place I love. And I went to Barcelona. I just picked the spot on the map, and I said, I'm going to go there.
Right.
And I remember I threw a little party before I left. And Sean, you know, of course, being the good guy, it wasn't a big party. He's like, I can come by, but only for like an hour. I want him to be there all night because I wanted to drink and stuff. He's like, I'll only be there for an hour. And he was there for an hour. He had like one beer with me. And then we walked out of the restaurant, and he put his arm around me. He said, Brian, I know you're, I'll never forget these words. He goes, I know you're looking to go to Barcelona to party and find a different life. And I want you to have a good time. But I want to let you know that you will never be fulfilled in life until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was like,
who said that?
My friend Sean, the same guy. And I was
the
just,
same
I,
guy.
Yeah. And I was just standing in a restaurant, like I just froze. I was like,
and this was 5 years later.
Yes, into our friendship. And I was like, oh. And I knew what he was about, so it didn't like shock me, but it kind of moved me at that time.
Why did it move you?
Well, because like everyone else was there just like, party, yeah, like no one was saying things like this. No one cared about me in this sense. They were, I mean, I'm not knocking these people, but they just weren't of that spiritual quality, you know?
Right.
And I remember I just stood there. I'm like, well, I know he doesn't mean it to upset me, and I know he wants to have a good time. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll just see where this goes. And so there I am, fast forward a little bit. I'm in Barcelona.
Okay.
The first 3 months were just like awesome.
Oh, so you were living in Barcelona?
I was living there. I lived there ultimately for 6 months, almost to the date. The first 3 months, I'm just partying, drinking, meeting a bunch. I had like 50 new people on my Facebook. It's a very social place. I'm a pretty social guy. I'm a type A guy. I'm outgoing, and I'm just there having a good old time, and everything's great. And I can't help. About 3 minutes into it, I'm laying in my bed and I'm just staring at the ceiling night after night. I'm staring at the ceiling. And I couldn't help but think of those words that he said were so resounding to me. Like, wait, I'm thinking to myself, wait, I thought this was the big getaway. I thought this was the big paradise. I thought I'm in Barcelona. I got money in my pocket. I'm living the dream. And I would fight. I'm like, oh, no, come on. You're just going through something. And night after night after night. And then I'd get away from it for a few weeks. And then I just kept coming back. I kept coming back. I'm like, he's right. I'm unfulfilled. Yeah. And then I would start analyzing my life there. I'm like, can I really live here forever? And how long will I be here? And I was thinking about my mom and dad at home and all this stuff. I'm like, oh my God. And that's when that one verse always comes to me. I think it's Proverbs 14, maybe. I could be wrong. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the Lord weighs his heart. And I just couldn't help but think that my heart was weighing. And I kept going back to him. And over about 3 months into it, I remember Sean was working from home at the time. God had allotted that time, which I didn't notice it at the time, but we know how God works and everything. He was doing some eBay work and his wife was away to work. He'd been married at that time. And he happened to have a lot of time because he was working from home and he was front of a laptop. So he would set up his little Logitech camera and we'd just have these long conversations, like 2 hours in the middle of the day, you know. And it was probably the first time he's like, bro, I'm going to start like reading scripture to you. And I was actually like listening. I went from like doubting to like kind of listening. I'm like, oh my God. He would share scripture with me. I'm like, wow, Jesus said that? That's in the Bible. I'm like, wow. So that's when the wheels really started turning.
Yeah.
So we'll fast forward about 3 months later. I started having some money issues. I was lonely. I was feeling sad about home. I had some unresolved matters to take care of, and I knew I couldn't live there forever. I said, well, I can always come back. So I flew home December 11th, 2011. And I was still a little bit fighting it a little bit. I was fighting a little bit. I'm like, I love Catholic. I'll figure this out. I was kind of prideful. I'm like, I'll make money. I can do this without God. And I won't get into all the details, but I had some just a series of circumstances that happened. I ended up like trying to go into the city one day. I was living way out in, an hour away from Chicago and living with my sister at the time. And I was like trying to like drive into the city to meet someone for some business thing. And I ended up getting a flat tire, my rim cracked, and God just didn't allow it to happen. Like all these circumstances were happening.
Yeah.
And my friend Sean was calling me, and he was like calling me like every other day. He's like, Brian, is like, God has shown me what my calling is, and I'm running a home church. I have a home congregation. I really want you to come. And we have your name written down as a list of people I've been praying for. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. So now he's like, he's really asking me. Now he's asking me for something.
He's knocking on your door.
He's knocking on my door. I'm like, oh boy. And he lived in I lived in Manhattan, Illinois at the time for a brief period. He lived in the 6900 block of West Balmoral in Chicago, which is the far northwest side, not far from O'Hare Airport. And I'm like, am I really going to drive an hour, 10 minutes to go to this Bible study? Is this crazy?
Right.
And it's a long story, but I started going to the Bible studies. And first couple of weeks, I was like looking at it was very intimate readings. We're like 10 of us were sitting around in a living room, sitting on different chairs and couches. And some of us had beat up old Bibles. And I never really took a hard look at it. And we were sitting around and people were reading the Bible out loud. And I was like, wow, this is interesting, you know? And I would say it was about 2-3 weeks into it. One day I looked over, my friend Damon read from the Gospel of Matthew, and I just looked at him. I said, wow, Damon, that is absolutely beautiful. And I just think like right there, the Lord was like calling me. It wasn't the moment, but it was like, I went from doubting and skeptic and resisting to like feeling him. And I was like, wow. And I turned and I know my words were, I turned and looked at my friend Sean. I said, why isn't everyone here? And he looked at me, his eyebrows almost jumped off his head. He was like, oh my God. He's like, this Brian guy who I've been trying to witness to for 6 years is like saying things I've never heard before. So it was moving. Fast forward a little bit more. There's a few different things that went on. I ended up living in a house in Wheaton, Illinois. I did a short stay. And as you know, Wheaton, Illinois is the home of Wheaton College, which is one of the largest universities in the United States.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Wheaton College is where a lot of the major, that's where the Billy Graham Center is. Billy Graham taught there. It's one of the most major universities in all of the in the country.
And Billy Graham is, I think it sounds.
He's the evangelist who died about 5 years ago. He was huge in the 60s, 70s. Billy Graham is a guy from, I believe, from down south. And he was a huge evangelist. He used to fill stadiums and stuff like that. Yeah, he was huge. So the Billy Graham Center is there. And I was staying in Wheaton in this 4-month little stay I had. And there was like Christian guys there because they were all going to school. And they were like witnessing to me. And they were like kind of sharing the gospel. And my friend Sean was like, he's like, you see, Brian, you think that's an accident? Those people are in your life because God is trying to save you. I'm like, really? I'm like, that's how this works? He's like, yeah, he works through people. I'm like, because remember the whole journey, it was just Sean and I. And then these other guys were telling me something. I'm like, wow, like this is a real thing for people, you know? So that was really stirring me. And that was an interesting time.
Yeah. You talked about how the scriptures, they were reading scriptures and you were actually listening.
Yes.
And when you said that, that stood out to me because I feel like people can hear, but they don't listen. And when you're able to listen, I think that is part of you. There was a willingness in you that wanted to know more, because people can go to church, you know, all their life and hear, but there's no transformation. There's no growth. There's no fruit.
Yeah.
But the fact that you were able to hear and listen and receive, you know, what was being said, I feel like that was an open door for you.
Those are good words, really good words, Jordan. You're right. Hearing and listening are different words.
Yeah.
It's like you're hearing a sound, like, what is that over there? Well, then there's hearing, like you're looking at a person like, wow, I hear what this person is saying. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's different. You're right. There's a lot of that going on. So I'll fast forward to my moment. So a few months into this, I'm back from Barcelona. I leave my sister's place. I'm going to the Bible study, and then I move to take a 4-month stint before my one main apartment was ready. I stay with these guys in Wheaton, a frat house, which is so interesting. And then, so we'll fast forward a little bit. I'm in my own place. I'm living in Lombard, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. You can move the mic closer.
Okay, yeah. So I'm living in Lombard, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like feeling the Lord, but I'm still like being tempted with sin, and I was still drinking a little bit, not a lot, but just here and there. And I end up meeting this girl, and I dated her for briefly. It was very, we didn't do anything really together. We like kissed once or something, but like we're just hanging out with each other for 2-3 weeks. And she was a Hindu girl.
Hindu.
And she was Hindu.
Hinduism.
Hinduism. And I didn't know much about Hinduism. And we weren't serious, but we were just kind of like social friends, like kind of hanging out and stuff and seeing where it was going to go. And one night her and I were out. And we met through some friends at a mutual, we were at a big gathering one day, and she knows some friends of mine very well, and I met her, and we were out one night about 2-3 weeks into knowing each other, and I kind of was towards the end, I leaned over, maybe give her like a little kiss on the cheek or something, and she politely just said, "Hey, Brian, I want to tell you something." I'm like, "What's that?" She's like, I don't think we can move forward after tonight." And I was like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Why do you say that?"
Right.
And she's like, I'll never forget the next words out of her mouth. You know what she said to me? She goes, "You talk about your faith a lot." I was like, "I do? I honestly, George, I didn't even know that." And she's like, "And I think that's great, but," she's like, "I'm a Hindu. And if I were to ever get serious with someone, my family would probably want me to marry a Hindu guy. And I'm not even there right now. So I don't think we should pursue this any further."
Okay. What does Hindu believe?
So I can't say I'm an expert. I know.
Just based off like a general,
Hindus believe there are many, many gods. The universe is made by many gods. And then I believe you reach a state of nirvana. After you die, you can be reincarnated, things like that. Mm. They have a lot of different beliefs, and it's definitely not a Christ-centered. Now, a lot of Hindus respect Jesus. I will say that. But it's very, very,
like
very confusing.
Like they have the water spirits and stuff.
Yeah. I'm not an expert, so I won't comment too much. I know like some basics. Okay. And I don't think she was over the top into her religion, but there was a difference there.
There's a difference.
There is
unequally
a difference.
Unequally yoked.
Unequal. Oh, yeah. And we were never like serious. And I don't know how we were just kind of like social friends. And so she turns
there.
What's that?
So she tells you like she breaks up with you basically.
She tells me right there. And I'm just standing there. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." And I never forget, I told my friend that, and a couple of weeks before we're talking to my friend, we actually, you know, to be candid, we're talking about sex and premarital sex and things like that. And he was like teaching me some of the tenets of the faith. He's like, "Brian," he's like, "the Christian faith is pretty personal. And what God wants from us is very personal." I'm like, "Wow." And I kind of known that from my upbringing, but I hadn't really taken it very, very seriously. And so when this girl tells me this, I'm like, "Whoa." So I just stood there. We're in the middle of this bar, Montrose Saloon, in northwest side of Chicago. And I'm standing here. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So I wasn't like hurt or crushed, but I was kind of stunned because we weren't serious or anything. So a couple minutes later, we walk out. She lived 5 minutes away. I drop her off. We have a nice amicable conversation. I said, "I'll see you around." Because we knew we were going to know each other anyway, because she knew some friends of mine. And that was my night, Jordan. I got my car. I drove home from the city. I'd moved out to the suburbs at the time. And I'll never forget, I had like the longest 40-minute drive of my life. I didn't even have the radio on. It was like kind of rainy. All I can hear was the wipers. And I just had this silent talk of myself. And I just had all these thoughts in my head. I go, "Oh my God. That's the first time in my life someone's ever like identified me as being a Christian."
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? And as I was driving, I was looking in the rearview mirror, and the city was just getting further and further away from me. And I got on the junction, our main interstate. And as soon as I got on that junction, I think I was about 20 minutes from home. And the thought that came to my head, you know what I said? Because I was like, I was confused. I'm like, "This is interfering with my personal life, a dating possibility." I'm like, what does this mean? And you know what thought hit me right there? You know what I said? I said, "You know what? I think I'm just okay with this." I said, "I think I'm just okay with this." And I was like, "Wow." And a few minutes later, I arrive home. I get inside. I'm dressed up. I'm in a nice pair of pants, a button-up shirt. I get in my, like, you know, put on a pair of boxers and a light t-shirt. I'm locking the doors. I'm turning off lights and doing night duty. And the thoughts in my head were so heavy that particular moment in my life. And I was like, "Oh my God, I've come this far in my life." And I walked into my room, and there was a little hallway going to the bathroom, and I got down on my knee. And you know what I said? I said, "God, I'm going to trust you with my life." Mm. I was saved right then and there.
Surrender.
I was born again right there. The Holy Spirit just took over my life. I was crying like I've never cried before. The Holy Spirit just took me over right there. And I was just
You were
like,
at home on your bedroom floor.
I was at home. It was like midnight. I was on my knees, and the Holy Spirit, I had a coming to Christ moment right there. I was in my hallway, and I was like, oh my goodness. I cried for 6 days. I was sitting at the edge of my bed with my hands on my head going, oh my God, you can't be serious. Like
like tears of joy.
Oh my God, elation. The Holy Spirit was just pouring in. Like my upper, I always said it felt like an invisible waterfall. Like you're at a bottom of a waterfall and it's like hitting you, but it's like invisible. It's like pouring, like the sensation was pouring into me. Because you got to understand, I had a lot of trauma in my life.
Yeah.
I had a lot of pain in my upbringing, a lot of scars. I won't get into a lot of that right now. I had not even begun my healing process. I knew I needed to, but I could tell right then and there, God was just telling me like, you're with me now and it's going to be all okay. And I was just crying and crying and I was testing it for days. I wake up, I'm like, oh, I'm going to wake up and this will be gone. There's no way this is real. I'd wake up and I was like, oh my God, it's here. And then I go to work and you know what? My whole attitude, I just had this optimism for life, this beautiful sense of hope, like things that would bother me, like going through tolls and the grind of life.
Just like the little things.
The little things. Like just
bother you.
Like I was driving this SUV and I had tools in the back. And I remember being on the third floor of a building and I'm like, oh, I got to go down and get these tools. And oh, life is such a grind. And you know what? I would be like, oh, my God. I have this beautiful job and God is paying me. I'm like, I can't wait to go down to my car and grab that tool. I had like this click my heels kind of like pep in my, I was like, life is so beautiful. And it was real. It wasn't just something I was convincing. It was like real. And I had a really coming, it was a coming to Christ, really powerful coming to Christ story, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just the beginning of it. But yeah, a lot has changed since. But yeah, that's kind of how I came to know Jesus, you know?
That's so good because it took like over time, like seeds planted throughout the years of like here and there. And I loved how he used Sean. Like he just used him to like reel you in. Like, oh, you think you're just getting an employee, but I'm about to show you
God's mysterious ways.
Who I am.
Wow.
And then, you know, even using the woman,
to,
you know, even though that didn't work out, that was still a vital part in your transformation as someone identifying you like, hey, this is not working because you believe in this and I believe in that. And it's like, oh, hearing someone identify you as that, like, oh, this is must be who I am.
Yeah.
Without me even trying to be that.
I agree. And then Sean probably doesn't even know I'm going to be mentioning his name this much, but I'm going to share this. We're both part of a church right now, and we'll definitely share this with a lot of people. And hopefully this gets out.
I'm sure he's proud.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I was publicly baptized December 22nd, 2012 in Park Ridge, Illinois. We invited a bunch of people. People awesome. I didn't even know. It was a huge step for me. And it was just an amazing time. We celebrated that night. And, you know, I'll be honest, my life has never, ever, ever, ever been the same. Everything in my life has changed. I used to have pornography in my life. I used to have sports addictions. I was a bad dieter. I was very overweight.
You can have addictions from everything, like sports addictions. Yeah. What does that even look like?
I mean, I used to, if the Bears would lose, I'd be angry all week. I'd like pounding my fist on my dashboard.
Oh, they were like controlling your emotions.
Oh, the whole week I'd be fixated on like, who are the Bears playing and is Urlacher injured or not? I was just
too consumed.
Talking about it for 5 different people, 10 different times throughout the week. I was just fixated. Like my happiness was dependent on the Bears, the Blackhawks.
Wow.
It was just like, that's how my life, I'd go to games. I'd spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year and going to these games and spending all day down at the stadium and wasting days.
And still unfulfilled. So you talked about when you were in Barcelona, how it was, you were, you know, in a beautiful place, environment.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you were doing well, you're partying, you had money, but there was still something missing. There was still like an unsatisfied
void.
A void.
And I didn't even know it. I didn't know that was the same. I didn't know that's what was happening.
But you just felt like, did you feel like something was wrong with you? Like, because did you feel like you were being ungrateful because this stuff is happening, but there's still something missing? What were you feeling?
You know, I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't, like, I knew, Jordan, like, I knew deep in my own heart that I had a lot of brokenness. I knew it because I was overweight and I was drinking. And like, I knew that there was, like, I hadn't had a, you know, like I just didn't have great relationships at the time. And I still had some anger and I just had just some different things, some brokenness there. And I just knew that we all inherently know like our brokenness. We know when we're just laying there, like I have this issue. Like I just didn't know that God was that real and that he wanted me that bad and that he wanted to fix me. I didn't know how great the invitation was, you know?
Right.
And I just didn't know that until I had my coming to Christ situation. I mean, I think inherently we all like to believe. I even have an atheist tell me like, oh, it'd be nice if it was true. Like we all would like to think that,
yeah,
you know, Jesus rose from the dead, there is a heaven and he wants a relationship and he wants to heal us, you know, and he wants to, we'd love to think that. But until it's real.
Right. Until you actually experience that for yourself, like that encounter with the Holy Spirit, it's just all like, that sounds great. And I really want to believe that there right. is this God and that Jesus died and right. he rose again and that we're going to a better place from here yeah. because life is really ghetto right now.
That's so funny.
I mean, it sounds great, but until you actually experience it, for yourself, you're really missing out. Because then on the other side, how you said, like, you had a whole new perspective. Like, yeah. your whole perspective, like, you weren't even really doing anything different. Like, you were going to the same job. You still had the tolls. But yeah. just your whole perspective on how you viewed yourself and your life changed. It elevated.
Yeah, that's a great way. Like, I had the Spirit of God. And, like, the burdens of life were just different. Like, I just started, like, going to my vehicle to get tools. I just had to have a deep sense of gratitude. I'm like, look at this beautiful right. trade I have. I'm making more money than people. Like I had like attitudes and opinions about the things I was doing that I never had before.
Right.
I'm like, wow, like look how great I have it. And, you know, and just things that I took for granted. And yeah, I mean, God just showed himself to me and, you know, and he just, you know, a friend of mine once said, he's like, Brian, when God is in your life, everything is just sweeter. It's just sweeter. Even like the shortcomings of life and the disappointments, you get over them so much quicker.
So much. I mean, life you know, it's, is a breeze. I mean, I want life just because you don't have the burden. Like you, yeah. he says, cast your burdens onto me. And then it's like, you yeah. don't walk around with those heavy burdens of life anymore.
Right.
He's like, you don't even have to worry about tomorrow. Do I not take care of the lilies?
I was just thinking about that verse.
Yeah, yeah. How much more will I not take care yeah. of you? You have little faith.
Yeah, you have little faith. And that's why, you know, when I always think of when in the Gospels, it says, you know, Jesus, when he was born, his name will be Emmanuel, which translates to God amongst us. Mm. You know, people always think God is some distant thing, some distant thought, some later on after you die. No, he's amongst us. He yeah. is among God is Christ within. Is with us. He walked with us and he's amongst us, which means when the Holy Spirit is with you, you are with God.
Yes.
And that is the, I always think of that one song that's called The Touch of Heaven by Hillsong. It's like
I love Hillsong.
A little touch of heaven. Like it's yeah. with you, the Spirit of God. And like it says in Colossians, it dwelled within him. That same Holy Spirit that raised Christ is within us. And if that doesn't make you happy, I think one of your videos, you said God is going to bring a smile back to your face. I could show you photos of me where I'd post them on Facebook and people would be inboxing me like, you okay? Like, why don't you smile for yeah. God's sake? And I was like, I didn't want to say it because I was hurting.
Yeah.
I was hurting, you know, and that's why. But he has brought a smile back to my face because the Spirit
praise
is with
God.
Me, you know. Yeah, praise God. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because the enemy is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And he will do anything to steal our joy.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
And like true joy only can come from God. No matter what's happening in yeah. your life, you can't take my joy.
He is the locust of all that is good and joyful. And yeah, we seek him. So yeah, that's kind of how we come to know Jesus. It's been, I got to say, that's why I love your podcast, Journey. It's a journey. It is absolutely a journey. And I'll be honest, I never, my wildest dreams knew that when I came to Christ. People are like, did you know it was going to happen? Of course I didn't know. It's like playing the lottery. If you knew it was going to happen, you would have went in there 10 years ago and won the lottery. Like, I didn't know it was going to happen. But mm-hmm. when Jesus came to my life, I never, Jordan, in my wildest dreams, realized the transformation that was ahead of me. I mean, he has made my path straight. I no longer, like, look at TV. I mean, I have a TV because I'll watch, like, when I have friends over. I think it's good for witnessing. I'll watch on Netflix and stuff. But I just don't even look at commercials. I don't watch things. Like,
you're
I don't need it.
You're not in the world. You're not in the world anymore.
I'm not
in it, but you're not of it. And I feel like that's what the scriptures talk about. Like, do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like, there is a transformation of your mind.
Yeah.
And you're no longer in the world. What's happening in the world, you're like, you're in the kingdom.
Yeah. And you know what? I just value things differently. I love being in nature. I'm very particular in my diet. By the way, I should mention, I've lost over 105 pounds.
Wow. Yeah. I wish we can show a before and after clip.
I can send you that if you want to incorporate that to this.
What made you lose that weight? Like, your relationship with God?
Yeah. So when the Holy Spirit came, I'm not kidding, Jordan. Like, the very next day I was looking, I went in my living room and the TV was on. I'm like, what is that TV doing? I'm like, turn that awful TV off. What is that noise from commercial?
That's
like, I started becoming holy. And like, and you know, I know it sounds a little weird, but I started becoming holy and started loving the things of God. And the very first things he did, he just gave me this energy. I remember being in a gym one day. And I've always had a hard time with, like, running because I was all overweight and my chest would hurt.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing of it is, like, I was, like, on this treadmill and I'd always be able to go for, like, 8 minutes. And one day I looked down, I was in, like, my 16th minute. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, breaking records. And I just had this burst of energy. And, like, you know, it says in Christ, those who are in the Bible, those who are in Christ come a new creation. God clearly was saying, I'm going to make you look different.
You're a new creation. Everything is new. You don't look the same. You don't talk the same. You're not act. It's a new. That's a thing.
One of your recent videos, you talk about being transfigured. I don't think you realize when I show you my photos, you're going to go, oh my God. I mean, I'm starting to develop. Well, I'll stay with the point, but I started I got this sense of energy and God was working. He gave me time and freedom. He's like, Brian, I'm going to change you. I started going to the gym. I was dropping. It seemed like every time I got on a scale, I was dropping 2 to 5 pounds every time I got on it. I was just dropping tons of weight. People were looking at me differently. They were like, whoa, like you couldn't help but notice. Like even people are looking at me, like even people I wasn't even in super great terms with, they were like squinting, like, whoa, like what is going on with this guy? I started professing Christ. It was so obvious that Jesus was going to change me in front of people who only knew me one way. And that is how God witnesses. You know, in Psalm 40, it says, many will see and many will see in fear. Like, I just think God pulled me out of the middle of a, I was involved in a lot of different people and God just changed me in the midst of all of it. And changed the way I looked and changed the way I sound and changed the way I talked. And here I am 11 years later and the journey is just, I feel like it's just getting better and better and better. I'm reaching new heights in my body, my fitness. I'm in the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
I'm running 5 miles these days. I could never barely run a mile.
Wow.
I ran the Hollywood 10K and I killed it. I could have ran the Hollywood 15K maybe.
Wow.
When I lived in Los Angeles. But yeah, I mean, God is amazing. And you know what? The more you pursue him, he just keeps pouring into you, you know?
And it sounds like you, like when you develop that relationship with God and the Holy Spirit and you start becoming your best version. Like we all have the version that we like settle for. And then we have the version that like God sees us. Like this is how God viewed us the whole entire time. It's just changing our perspective of how we view ourselves.
Well, when he changed Simon's name to Peter, it's like, you are now Peter. It's like, you know. I think it's Psalm 105 that says he does a wondrous work. I mean, it's just that's so good. Obvious that when God wants to show the world something, he does it through a person. He will transform them. And that's why, honestly, I'm so humbled. I tell people, look, for those who don't believe, would you rather be hearing a guy who says, oh, look how great I am. Look how awesome I've done of a job. There's a lot of boastful people out there that look at me. I'm great. I give everything to God. I'm not looking for a speck of credit. If you give me credit, I'm going to be offended.
Yeah.
That's
almost like scary. Like, do not all glory to God. God is the one. And you can have the same when you get into alignment to what he's called you to do. When you surrender,
right,
you will have the same acceleration and transformation that takes place in your life.
Yeah. And the gratitude, you know, I always think what Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify in my name. And that's why I just pour out the way I do to people.
Okay. So 11 years later, here you are.
Yeah.
What are you doing now as far as testifying or being the light?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And actually what I'm doing, I did start my own YouTube channel.
Yay.
You were part of the inspiration, as I was telling you
awesome.
A little earlier. So I'll tell you briefly what happened. I never really had a YouTube channel. I had my own personal Google account, and I had my own company. I'd post a few plumbing things here and there. I never really did much with it. Yeah. And one day I was just praying, and my business is doing really well. You did a video recently on Isaiah 60 and 61, how you're talking about employees. That spoke to me, like how they'll tend to your flock. I'm like, wow, Jordan really understands these things. I'm like, she understands these things. And I'm like my business is running itself. God has just raised my business, and everyone is just blessed there, and it's so going so great. But in the last year, I've actually been working away from the business. The business has been run by people, and I'm delegating everything to everyone. So what's happening is I've just been working on myself. Yeah. And what I've decided to do, I've been praying and discerning, and God led me start my own YouTube channel. Mm. So you were part of the inspiration, and I met a bunch of others. When I changed my Gmail and I started my own, I started seeing all these Bible teachers, not the big names, but like all these individual people like yourself and all these other ones. And I'm like, Jordan. I'm like, who's this girl? And I just started clicking play, and I saw you. I'm like, oh, look at this wonderful young lady. And you have such a sweet voice and you're just so godly. You have such a beautiful spirit and just such a beautiful energy from yourself. And I was looking at her. I'm like, let me see what this girl has to say. Is she any good? And I was like, whoa, this girl's got some insight, man. She's deep. She's on point. And you know what's so funny? Like, if I would have met you 3 years ago, I might have been like, I don't know if I'm interested. But you, God's timing is perfect. Like, you were speaking to things that were so accurate to my current life.
Mm.
And that's why I was like, wow, like, this girl is like, I think I'm meant to meet this girl in some sense or another. So I just started looking at your stuff. I probably watched at least 30 or 40 of your videos and a couple of your podcasts. I'm like, wow, I'm clearly in tune with some people, with the kindred spirits, as they say. I'm like, I'm in tune with this girl. That's why I drove to Pennsylvania. I'm like, sure, I'll drive. Why not? I'm like, I didn't know where you lived. I was listening. I'm like, where does she live?
Like,
it's in Pittsburgh. I'm like, I think I could drive there. And by the way, the drive here was a breeze. The Holy Spirit was with me.
Yes.
Just listen to music. Usually drives are like burdensome. They're like, they're heavy. They're clunky. It's like you're stopping at a gas station. I just been on a joy the whole time coming here. It was so great.
Yeah. God is good.
But anyways, to answer your question, I started my own page. It's called Spiritual Kings. It's pretty new. It's a little less than a year old. I only have like 300 and something subscribers. I've been learning a lot about myself. I'm learning a lot about how to use a camera, technology, how to dress, how to position myself.
And that is the most important. What you're learning through the process. Because God's going to, as long as you're being obedient, you know, God's going to make it do what it do.
Yeah, that's great. Because I've questioned. I'm like, am I doing this for my own reasons? Am I being egotistical? Is this right in God's eyes? But I've been praying and praying. And, you know, I feel like I didn't even know how I was going to look on the camera or talk on the camera. I'm like, am I even going to be able to quote scripture? And, you know, I see how the Holy Spirit works through me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And as of right now today, I do believe it's what God wants me to do. I've learned a lot about myself. Okay. I was just recently in Europe and I was like watching some of my own videos. I'm like, wow, that's what I look like. That's what I sound like. And you know what? It's humbling. I've made a few mistakes. I've misquoted scripture a couple of times and I've had to learn a lot of things, like to have the Bible in front of me. Don't just wing it out. Like, don't just say things out loud. God has disciplined me a little bit. I've made a few mistakes. I got a little overconfident a few times and it's humbled me a lot. And I, of course, want to be obedient to Jesus, and I want to continue to be a very good teacher, and but I want to be confident too. I want to that balance of a confidence, but like humility, because it's God's word and it's very precious. So I'm learning a lot, and I want to be true, and I just want to teach it the best possible way I know how, because I do believe my life testimony is strong, and I do believe there's people who want to hear it, because I've been through a lot of things, from the weight loss to personal difficulties and trauma and scars. I've been healed quite a bit, and I think what I really want to teach people the most, my favorite thing to do, Jordan, is to look at a person from day one and take them from A to B to C to D. I love.
What does that mean?
Well, basically, like, if they're in a broken state, if they're physically, if they're broke, they're overweight, if they're lost, I love the process. I love looking at a person and seeing them for their greatness inside.
Right.
And seeing their potential.
Like the potential in them.
And because so many people are hurting and they're lost. And I talk to so many people and they're like, I've had people straight up say to me, like, you know what? I feel really inspired by what you just said. I've had friends say that. Like people have told me straight up, like, you give me hope. And I had a friend who came to Christ recently, and he told me something one day, almost made me cry. He's like, you know, one of the main things that brought me back to Christ, he was looking at you. He said, looking at you and everything God has done. I almost cried, and I can cry right now. And it's so humbling. And I don't say that to bring attention. I'm not like, look at me, I'm this awesome guy. It's like, no, it's what God has done. And I just love, I thrive when I see people change. Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be passed over.
That process yourself.
I know what it's like to went to someone to underestimate you. No one's ever given me the credit, I believe, that God saw in me.
Right.
No one thought I could be a business owner. No one thought I could be an entrepreneur. No one thought I could be a YouTuber. No one thought I could be this. But God did. And that's
God did.
But that's what I see in others. I want to show people what God, how God sees you is so different than how the world sees you. There are people in your life that will never, ever see you the way that God can possibly see you. No, even your best friend, and maybe they're great
even
people.
Even family members may not see you how God sees you, and they just may see you as, oh, that's just old little Jordan.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
God said there's more.
Well, I don't remember that one. Yeah, I don't want that verse is a Joshua, but God sees a man for what's in his heart. And I don't want to misquote. I don't know the one off the top of my head very great, but it's so true. Look, we can all admit that we live on this earth for a period of time, and there's people who love us, our mothers or fathers, whatever, but there's no one who's ever going to see us the way God will. And that is the greatest source of potential that a person have to know their identity.
Yes.
You know, and to know their purpose and their calling through God himself, you know.
That's good.
And that's what I like to do. That's what my YouTube channel is going to be about. I'd love to see people lose weight, get in the best shape of their life, maybe start a business. I'm very passionate about business.
Are you going to be doing fitness or showing people what you did, like the work you put in?
A little bit of everything. My three tiers are going to be, they always say pick three main bodies of things you want to teach. That's what they teach you. Yeah. I'm going to be faith, fitness, and like financial freedom, which will encompass a lot of things. You don't have to start a business, but I want to be like, get right with God as your faith.
Yeah.
Fitness is like, you know, some people are already in good shape, but maybe they just want to be a little more mentally.
I believe everyone in the kingdom should be some sort of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
If you're a follower of Christ, just because. Now, I know that there are seasons where God has called you to work, to study.
Right.
To be under someone as he's preparing you. Mm-hmm. But I just believe eventually, because I believe entrepreneurship is very much more spiritual.
Yes.
Like, because you have to be able to hear from God.
Yeah.
Especially when you are doing, you know, in the kingdom and you're no longer working for man, but you're working for God. And it's more about hearing from him and being obedient to what he's calling you to do, because God is the ultimate provider. He's the one who gives, and he's the one who takes it away.
Right.
And so when you understand that, it's just like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? I know you're going to provide. I know you're going to make sure I'm doing well because I'm surrendered.
Right. I agree. The Lord giveth and he taketh. Job 121. It's like everything we say, it's all in God's word. And it's so true. It's like the parable of the talents, you know. You know, God gives us talents. For those who are given much, much is expected. And I'm just trying to make the most of what God has done for me. And I'm trying to be obedient and humble at the same time. But I have a fire in me that I just love to see change in people. Because when you've been transformed so much as I have, you have no choice but to want to share it and see others.
You want to share and you want to see it done for other people. Like, look what happened to me. Like, did you know who I was? I want to see that happen for you.
Yeah.
Like, it can happen. And then you just believe that everyone can change and do good.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, like, because when I first started my transformation, like, I was giving everyone the benefit of the doubt and like, he can change and he can do better and they can do better. And then I realize they have to want the change for themselves. And I think that is the difference. Like, you can't change people.
Yeah.
God can change people, but that person also has to be willing to want to change and go through that process as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I struggled with that a lot in the beginning. I was kind of a little bit, my friend told me something that really humbled me one day. He's like, Brian, I think you have savior complex. I'm like, oh my God.
Because you just want to save everyone. And God's like, you can't save everybody.
I probably did have savior. Maybe I still have a little bit of it. I don't know. But I was such an eager beaver about sharing the gospel and the Lord saved me. I'm clicking my heels and people are like, what the heck has gotten into you? And he's like, well, I'll tell you what's gotten into me. But you're right. I've learned learned a lot over time about discernment and just temperament and just being like basically just understanding where people are at. A good friend of mine used to always say, Brian, I don't care if it's faith or fitness or financial. He's like, just the person has to take action steps, you know? And it's if you don't take an action step in anything in life, you know, go finding a new job, whatever, they'll never do it. And that's something, if you're a true believer, I do believe that I even hurt myself a little because I put too much into people that weren't moving. And it was starting to hurt me. And I'm like, I have to focus on myself. And I felt guilt. I'm like, do I leave that person alone and walk away?
And then you start learning about boundaries.
Yes.
And then you start learning about all the other things that, like, being a believer in Christ doesn't mean, like, you're a doorman and you're going out. You know, just telling the gospel to everyone, like, because it also says, like, don't cast your stones
to first wines.
Well,
and again, we don't have all day to talk, but I could tell you something. But in business, I'd love to. I feel like I could talk to you all day. But like in business, my first few years, like I was trying to like lead people to faith, employees and stuff. And I was making huge mistakes. And one day some guy came up to me and he said it nicely. He's like, Brian, this is not a ministry. It's a business. And I had to like, I know, and it is a ministry to me. It always will be. But because I love how, you know, I like treating people with Christ-like, you know, manners and things like that.
But look at how you came to Christ. It's not about just, you know, telling people, it's about just showing people through how you live, like your day-to-day lifestyle. And people are going to be like, what is that? Like, I want to know, why are they so happy? Or why is she so kind? Or why are these things going for her the way they are going?
Yeah.
You know, just living life. And that's a witness.
Well, I don't know if you ever heard a statement, a lot of pastors will say this. They say that how you live your life is the most of a Bible that a person might ever read in their life. So true. Just live it. And that's, they may never open it and turn a page, but they might look at you and go, wow.
And plant a seed.
And plant a seed.
And so what would be like one life tip that helped you become a better person outside of surrendering your life to God? Like just a practical tip that you feel like helped you, that like changed your life?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's an amazing question. I have a lot of thoughts that immediately came to my head, but I think the number one thing that's transformed me, aside from just the spiritual and everything, but I think from a true human maturity, one thing that I think maybe we're all a little guilty of that I was is like kind of a 2 or 3 part answer, but like just not judging people and just like not gossiping. I used to hold, we all do in a sense, like hold a judgment or something. I have really, really come a long way. And I won't get into the backdrop on how I was raised and the environment. I mean, I can go on, but I won't get into all that. But like, I just, when I look at a person now, I was just in a cafe a few minutes down the street here. Yeah. I was looking at people and they weren't my style. They weren't my type of people. They're dressed different. I already know like probably what they're thinking politically. But honestly, I had a peace around being these people. I'm like, you know what? Like God loves these people. And who am I to like throw my persona around and make it put him in a box. Like I used to be like that a little bit.
I think we all kind of have those. I don't know if they're called prejudices, but just like the way we perceive people.
Yeah.
Just based off.
Yeah.
You know.
Like this person's a Republican or this person's a Democrat or this person probably, you know, drives this kind of car or whatever. Yeah, like I used to be like that. That's kind of the environment I was raised. I was raised around a bunch of people that were just very quick. I was just listening to a sermon to talk about think a lot longer before you speak. And I think that's the biggest adjustment in my life.
Not judging.
Just not judging.
So how has that helped you?
Well, it's really bettered myself and bettered my relationship with people. Like I'm just more quiet when someone walks in the room and what they're talking about. I just kind of like give them a chance to be who they are, accept where they're at in their life. If they're different than me, if they're whatever, if they're more broken, they're not in shape. I just like, I don't like dismiss them as quick. I don't judge. I just say, hey, you know what? Like life is hard. It's difficult. And they're at where they're at. And who am I to say? I'm in my broken state. I was not the most impressive guy, Jordan.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, and I can imagine people probably looked across the room and said, who's this overweight drinking cursing dude? You know, who's he, you know? And I was, and, you know, and what would any of us ask for is to not judge me at the time. Cause I was hurting. And the best I can do in my transformation is to give that chance to anyone, you know, I mean, that's all I could do.
Yeah.
You know,
Because you never know where people are in their journey. Yeah. And everyone has their own experiences that they have to go through to become their greatest version and yeah. to get into relationship with God. And so you don't know where people are. So who are we to judge, you know, because we're on another side to say, like, this person is this. And it's like, you don't know what they have to experience to become the person that God is calling them to become.
Yeah. And you know what? And we are not God. And I'll tell you,
like, and the Bible says, judge and you will be judged. Well, that's also.
And when I was all that sermon, I was listening to talk about the woman who was going to be stoned. It's like, he who is free of sin shall cast the first stone. The easiest thing for our fleshly reflexes are to say something, to blurt yes. something out, to cast a stone. That person's a piece of work. That person's this. That person. Look. If God didn't give us the chance he gave us, we'd all be in big, big trouble. So yes. who are we to quickly cast someone off? You know, but again, that's not to say we shouldn't have a sound judgment about ourselves and other right. people. And it's not to say we shouldn't have, you know, boundaries and concerns. Of course, we should maintain that. But
that you are to, when you know better, you have to do better. Because if you don't, it's a sin. So we're yes. not judging, but if you know more, then you need to be doing more or be doing better.
I think it's John 7, something, don't judge with outward appearance, but judge with right judgment. I think that's the verse. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we could obviously be wise in our judgment. But yeah, I think that, to answer your question, a great question, I just give people so much more of a chance. And who
so
they are.
Much more of a
I just
chance.
Give people so much more of a chance
that.
To get to know them regardless. You know, I heard a guy say something on YouTube. He great point. He goes, just because I disagree with you, that doesn't mean I don't like you.
Right.
I have friends that are atheists. I love that. I have friends that are far left Democrats, that are right wingers to the core. I mean, like, and you know what? I just try my best to see them who they are. I don't like to get into things with them.
I know.
You know,
I know.
But I mean, like,
because political talks are like very heavy, like amongst like my intermediate family.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just want to know, how has being a believer changed your political views?
You ask great questions, Jordan. So, you know, okay, so I was always a very conservative person.
What is conservative? I'm sorry, because I...
Okay.
I'm not into it. Like,
well,
that.
There's a few different ways. There's historically conservative around the world, but then there's like United States conservative. People misconstrue conservative with being a Republican. They're kind of different things. Now, most Republicans would be conservative, but to my knowledge, a conservative is a person who believes that things are the way they are and they should stay that way. And we should hold to a belief in a value system that is good and honest and it works. And that's how you stick with it and you honor it. It's a conservative belief. Whereas the liberal, the leftist is like, no, like, we're all changing. Society's changing. We should allow everything and everything goes. Like, if you want to paint your hair green, don't judge me. Like a Dennis Rodman, you know, like, and I like partially agree with some of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So the conservatives wants to hold things the way they are in a traditional value system, whereas the liberal, in my opinion, is like, no, like, where it's an evolving, changing world, and
so
you adapt.
How has that changed for you?
You know,
do
I mean,
you still identify yourself as those things?
I would say no, I definitely don't. I've discerned away from it a lot, and the reason is because I never want to ever detract anyone from the gospel itself, you know. So many, and without getting too into it, there's so many people in both parties, Democratic, Republican. Who do we know? We think of the Hannitys. We think of the Bidens. I don't want to identify with any one person or face because it's not who I am.
I'm just a follower of Christ.
I'm a follower of Christ.
And that's it.
My life has been transformed
now,
by the gospel.
Is
right,
this,
right.
I just base everything. Is it biblical or is it not?
Right.
Now, I'm not going to get into voting or anything like that. I personally stopped because I just feel like, you know, God is the ultimate. I'm not in this world. I don't live in a Democrat. I live in the kingdom. And so there is no democracy.
And what did Jesus
kingdom.
Say? My kingdom is not of this
my
world.
My kingdom is
you know?
Not of this world. So if I'm not of the world, I'm not going to participate in my vote in to this world. Now, I know that there's money and things like that, but that was just something that I didn't feel was necessary. I'm not of this world. And that's how I live.
I agree. And so you asked a very profound question. I have honestly said that I do not ever bring up my political beliefs because you're going to lose people so quick. Because I tell you, those are beliefs. Remember, the
and
gospel.
People are so indoctrinated in
yes,
that.
Yes. Well, like, and a lot of people are just wrong and they're distracted and they don't know.
They don't have
thought,
all the information.
But the thing is, God wants our hearts. He doesn't want us to vote for a particular candidate. I mean, there are discussions there.
Yeah.
But like, because certain candidates hold certain biblical beliefs. Okay, that's fine. But he wants our hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always look at it like this. If I'm on a stranded island and I meet you and you're not saved, I don't care who you vote for. We're dying in 6 weeks. I need you to come to Christ. I don't care if you vote for Biden or Trump. I want your heart and I want you to know Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what I want. So that's a little scenario I paint in my head when I meet someone. We're both on an island, and how can I love you and share you the most to show you to Christ, lead you to Christ? That's what I want to do.
And that's good. And so if people want to know more about you,
yes,
where can they find you?
So you can go to my YouTube channel or my Instagram. It's Spiritual Kings. You can just type in the search criteria, Spiritual Kings. It is a new channel. It's only got about 300 subscribers as of September 23. I can't even say I know where it's all going. It could be around for another 2 weeks. It could be around for 20 years. I don't know. I'm following what God is showing me.
I'm not
a perfect person. I'm just learning. And I have growing to do. I'm learning how to be a YouTuber and how to be a Bible teacher. And just please give me a fair chance and just know that I have a heart for Jesus and I love sharing the gospel and I'm trying to make it fun and interesting. And I'm trying to share fitness, health, and how to make money in business the righteous way and how to know Jesus more. That's kind of what I'm about. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. I love that.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan.
For coming and sharing your testimony, sharing your journey.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, family, for tuning in. Jordan's Journey podcast can be found on all podcast platforms. And you can visit us on the web at jordansjourneycoaching.com. God loves you so much. And so do I. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by this episode. For additional resources to help you grow in life and in faith along your journey, visit jordansjourneycoaching.com. Until next time, God loves you so much, and so do I. Bye.